Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm all right. One of these days I'll have better words to say than good or all right. No complaints. I get to talk about prospects. So I guess it can't be that bad. And I'm not at work, so it can't be that bad.
Well, I am currently pulling triple duty right now. So recording this this Prospect Minute. I'm going to be doing my chat on Fangraphs at the same time, and I'm editing and releasing today's podcast. So
perfect. Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm really going all in right now. So, but we're talking about the San Francisco Giants system that probably shouldn't take us too much time to discuss. No.
It's more interesting than it has been in years past.
For sure. They're not trading away talent anymore because, one, they're not competing, and, two, they don't have any.
Also that, and I don't really know. The positive news is, they have a couple guys at the top that they added in the last, 6-7 months. But the downside of all this is there's really no other way besides a mad bum trade where you're going to add something to it. And I don't know what the return for a Bumgarner trade is going to be, what they're looking for. So I don't even know if it happens. You know what I mean? So
I think it's going to happen in season, personally.
Yeah, it has to. And I wouldn't be surprised if you get like a major league ready starter and then maybe like a B-level prospect. And that's probably it, which is fine, I guess. But the market hasn't been kind to people like Bumgarner this year.
This is true. So. Well, go ahead and jump right in. Start with the top guy.
Starting here at the top for the Giants list, I guess we'll start with the number 2 overall pick in the draft, Joey Bart. 298, 369, 613, triple slash, 13 homers, 5.8% walk rate, 19.7% strikeout rate, 166 WRC plus in short season balls in the Sally League. As advertised for Bart, he might be the best catching prospect in baseball. I'm not in that camp, but if you go that way, I can't hate you for it. Big, strong frame, athletic guy. Probably a little bit taller than you want for a traditional backstop, but it hasn't hurt him to this point. It's an efficient swing, no wasted movement. It's a power over hit profile, and he doesn't really have one that's going to project to post strong batting averages in the future. It's mechanically sound, but there's no two-strike approach. What I mean is he's max effort at all times, doesn't shorten up, which you have to admire that a little bit because he knows his strengths and knows what his game is. It produces plenty of loft, but again, heavy fly balls and heavy pull side stuff, so can't expect much for the batting average. But he's one of those college catchers. He's a polished guy, advanced, calls his own game, which was rare for the college game, and I remember reading about that, and that's actually impressive stuff. Plus arm behind the plate. He projects to be like a roll 60 type player. He can move quickly if the Giants need him to. I could see his ETA being late 2020 if they want to push him hard. And that's okay. For the Giants, that's going to work. Posey's days behind the plate are limited. He's probably going to have to move to first base here eventually. Maybe even third. I think that's probably a better fit for him if you can play there. But Joey Bart is the number one prospect in the system, but it's close. There's top three guys here that are clear separators from the rest. And number 2 is a guy I was high on last year that I'm still high on. He still will be inside my top 100 prospects, despite, the struggles he had this year. But Helio Ramos, kid out of Puerto Rico that took him 19th overall in 2017, 245, 313, 396, hit 11 homers, 104 WRC plus, 6.5 walk percent, 25% K rate, 8 stolen bases. He's got a chance to be an impact regular, and there's not a lot of guys in the system that can say that. The underlying skills are stronger than the overall stat line. It's a rough ballpark to hit where he was at this year in the A-ball for the Giants. Pitch recognition is the issue here. He expands the zone versus breaking stuff versus spin. He has trouble with spin. He can hit anybody's fastball. I'm not sure he's ever going to be an asset in the batting average or even on base department, but he's going to provide some athleticism, some solid defense on the corner, and some pop. And I think that's kind of the player you're getting here. Good bat speed. He's a passive guy, which doesn't show in his walk rate, but, you know, he uses off fields. Doesn't try to do too much, but, I mean, I'm looking at a guy, one of the most athletic players in the draft. I think he can be a solid major league regular, and he's a guy I'm getting excited about. Marco Luciano is kind of the lightning rod guy. He's 17 years old. September 10th, 2001 was his birthday, in case you want to feel old.
Well, that just sucks.
Yeah. He's the consensus number two overall player pretty much in the international J2 class. Ben Badler and Jesse Sanchez all over that ranking, two of the highest ranking guys in that field. Physically gifted 17-year-old, big raw power. Probably not a shortstop long term. Might be a third baseman, might be an outfielder, but it doesn't matter because you're here for the bat. He's got the highest upside of anyone that we've talked about so far and anyone that we will talk about in this system. Good use of the body, the lower half in the swing already for a 17-year-old, which is huge. He doesn't sell off of the power. It just comes naturally. He's going to fill out more. He's at shortstop now, like I said. He's not going to stick there, but he's got good hands. And I think third base might be a good spot for him because he's got the hands and the actions for it. Below average speed guy, but it's a sky high floor a sky high ceiling and a cavernous floor is the best way to describe Luciano, and that's what JP wrote in our Prospects Live Giants update, and I think that's spot on. So those top three are pretty strong. In your first year player draft, I would take Luciano over Bart, but that's just me. I am leery of catching prospects. I think rightly so. We see how low the offensive bar is for a catcher nowadays. I mean, if you draft Bart, you don't want to worry about that. That's fine. More power to you. But I'll shoot for the moon. I'll get Luciano. Luciano has a chance to be where Wander Franco is this year. He's that type of dynamic athlete. Not saying that. I'm not predicting it. But, I mean, it's the upside's there. Obviously, Franco has, you know, switch hitting, and he's got a little bit of a higher floor than we even thought. And maybe Luciano's there next year, but as of right now, he is not there. Alexander Canario is going to go number four on this list. I think he's the consensus number four. I think you can make an argument for the top three guys rated any way possible, but I think Canario has to be number four. 250, 357, 403, triple slash, six homers, eight stolen bases, 13% walk rate in the rookie league, Arizona League. 24.5% K rate, 153 ISO, plus runner, going to stick in center field. That's the calling card here for Canario. Really good athlete. Short stride on the swing, utilizes lower half. I don't see too much power here, but I think he makes enough contact and can run enough where he's going to post decent batting averages and be an asset in the field. So that's what Canario is. Chris Shaw is the next guy for me. Everyone knows, you know, former first baseman at Boston College. Big raw power. Just has long arms, has a tough time getting into it. Double plus raw power. Hit a 468-foot bomb off of Sungwon Oh in Coors Field that sticks out. Thing with Shaw, he's going to have platoon issues. Being a left-handed hitter in, you know, San Francisco, AT&T Park, it's a tough place for those kind of guys, and except for Barry Bonds, but he's not Barry Bonds. He's a finished offensive product. He needs to work on his game in left field defense, but, I mean, the Giants have no reason not to play him in left field every day this year to see what he can do. Chris Shaw is a big part of their immediate future, and they need to go there with him now. Heath Quinn, a little old for the level this year. A little bit of power, a little bit of speed. Kind of a stiff, athletic guy, probably an outfield corner. Not as high as I was on him as a couple years ago. Sean Anderson is a solid mid-rotation ceiling. Former Florida Gator. Mid-90s fastball with some sink. 47% ground ball rate, 12.1% swing strike rate, which dropped to 10% in AAA. Mid-rotation upside, like I said, he's a traditional Giants guy. He's going to pop up a little bit better than that. They don't get many blue-chip pitchers in their system with how they've been drafting, how late they've been drafting in recent years. But the ones they do get, you know, even Derek Rodriguez turned into something a little bit different than people thought. I think Sean Anderson could play that similar role with a little bit more strikeouts, a little bit more swing and miss. Gregory Santos has got the highest upside of any arm in the system. But again, I still think he's probably mid-rotation starter or a damn good bullpen piece because of the command issues he's got at present. Ray Black, he's been in the majors this year. It's the command for him. High spin rate guy, 2,600 RPMs on the high 90s fastball, which ranked third in all of baseball for 200 for guys that threw 200 fastballs. 34% swing and miss percentage. That's obviously nasty stuff on the fastball. Touched 104 on several occasions. I don't know how much I buy that. Melvin Adon was a standout in the Arizona Fall League and projects to be a high-leverage bullpen arm for me. He starts now, but you know I don't think that's his future. 6'4", 245, solid build, two-pitch guy, fastball, double-plus slider. I like Adon going forward. Logan Webb is a probably back-end starter, maybe number four guy. He was added to the 40-man in September. In November. Return from Tommy John this year, first full year back, mid-90s fastball, higher arm slot, has a curveball, changeup, and a slider. I think he can be a back-end guy, like I said. Jairo Palmeiras is another international guy they picked up this year for $975,000. Outfielder, probably center fielder. Kind of thicker lower half, but he runs a little bit quicker than he looks. Cuban kid. He's kind of an enigma. Good field for hit. Uses all fields. But, he's got some upside here, and most of the other guys in this organization lack that. Camilo Duval might be the last real guy I really want to touch on. Really good J2 signing in 2015. He's kind of popped up. Reliever with an electric arm action, and I love it. Whippy arm. Reminds me a little bit of like Guillermo Mota back in the day. I love that guy's arm action. Really good fastball slider guy. And
you are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. All preseason long, we'll be bringing you the most in-depth analysis to get you ready for your drafts. There will be 30 team previews with 30 prospect previews during the month of January. That's 60 podcasts in 30 days. Then, we will be dropping almost daily pods until the start of the season. You can also get your 2019 draft guide called The Fantasy Benefit in ebook and paperback on Amazon.com. Or if you prefer, you can get it via email in PDF form. It has over 250 pages of analysis, player profiles, ranks, strategy guides, and prospect information for cheaper than the magazine you get in the store. Plus, we'll be updating both PDF and ebook all the way until draft season is over for any changes that happen in the landscape of fantasy baseball. Stay tuned all preseason long to Friends of Fantasy Benefits so you can be ahead of the curve.
Sean Hell, I think has been how you pronounce it. I think the J silent, 45th overall pick in the 2018 draft. Big guy, 6'11", 225. Obviously, you know, the concerns that come with guys that are that tall, have a lot of trouble throwing strikes. Not the case so far for Sean H-J-E-L-L-E. Good knuckle curveball for the secondary, changeup. Normally you would think a big, tall righty like this would throw a slider, but that's not the case. Really good extension, obviously. Heavy ground ball tilt, which I think will keep him in the rotation in the back end. Garrett Williams, I love the arm, but he cannot throw strikes. 15% walk rate in AA. So I think he's also a reliever, if anything. Jake Wong is a third-round pick in 2017 out of Grand Canyon University, 6'2", 215, mid-rotation arm. Jose Marte is a reliever. Juan DePaula, they got him from the Yankees in the McCutcheon deal. Some velocity coming since the mid-90s. I think he can start, probably back-end guy. Sam Coonrod is a reliever. Sam Wolf's a reliever. Jacob Gonzalez is Luis Gonzalez's kid. He's got some pop at third base. Might have to move over to first, which is a problem because I don't know if the bat sticks. And I guess we'll end on Tyler Beede. Losandro Fabian has no approach, but he has some power. Seth Corey throws some doesn't throw enough strikes from the left side, low 90s fastball, back-end starter. Tyler Beattie's an enigma. I still like Tyler Beattie. I still think he can be a back-end starter, which is probably higher than most guys have him, which and lower than what I had him last year. High ground ball rate, I think, it gives him some safety. I mean, if Heston and Stratton can pull out careers in the major leagues, I don't see why Beattie can't. Beattie's got better stuff than both of them. He's a first-round draft pick. By the Blue Jays, didn't sign, went back, and the Giants picked him up in the draft. And, you know, I think the stock is at an all-time low for Beattie. I'm not advocating going and buying him because the ceiling's not all that high. But he's a usable piece, and I think people are sleeping on him. And Drew Ferguson is a Rule 5 pick this year for Houston from the Astros. No reason why he can't stick and be the fourth outfielder. A little bit of speed, no power, can play all three outfield spots. But the Giants are stronger than they were at this time last year, which I don't really know if that means a lot, but
it helps a little bit.
It does. It's going to be a Detroit Tiger-esque rebuild, though. And, you know, it's going to be a painful one. It's going to be a long one because I think the closest guy I talked about with actual upside to be a better-than-average major leaguer is Joey Bart, and that's still a year and a half away at best. So, you know, Bart, Luciano and Ramos, though, is a top three that can almost compete with any system. It's just after that, it just falls off a cliff.
All right, that's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. What do you got going on right now, Matt?
We are finishing up our System Scrum podcast and top 30 list over at Prospect Live. Got up my ranks coming for the FWFB draft guide. Got my draft. And my prospect pieces for the draft guide coming in as well. Working on those as quickly as I can. Keep following us over at Prospects Live. Keep following us at Versus Fantasy Benefits. It's going to be a big year for both here in 2019.
All right. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can read all my stuff over on Fangraphs, where I'm doing this chat right now on Fantasy Alarm, where I've got stuff for their draft guide coming out as well, and still doing some football stuff over there. Also, and of course, Friends, Fans, and Benefits, where we have the draft guide coming out, all these podcasts, all preseason long, so definitely keep on listening. Give us a rate review. Really helps us out. So that's going to finish it for this episode. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.